My privilege to introduce you, that's better, our special guest that we have today with us. We have Flora Mukali from Kenya, Africa, who's come to visit with us today and share with us the Word of God and tell a little bit about the ministry that she has there. Several of you met her several years ago when we went to Kenya on a mission trip, and we went to a place that she established called the New Sense Center. And she established that and continues to run that New Sense Center in Africa. And it reaches out to rescue girls that have been sexually abused and trafficked. And she started out with a few, and now she has 70 girls living in her house there in Kenya. An amazing ministry that she has going there. She is also a Nazarene pastor, has a church in her home there as well. And just an amazing woman of God. And I'm so glad that you're here, Flora, to share. We've been supporting her ministry for years here at the church, and we're so glad that she came to share with us today. So let's welcome Flora to our church.
Wasn't that powerful worship from the choir? We need you guys to come over. We have mainly girls and a few adults, so if you come, the whole of the choir, I think that will be another little heaven on that side of the world. So God bless you. The pastor man pronounced my name well again, Flora Mukali. I am a Christian saved by the grace of God and called to the ministry while I was still very young. And I didn't know where it was headed or leading until about 7 to 8 years now, when he led me to the ministry of, we could call it healing, but in Africa, if you say a ministry of healing and deliverance, it could denote something else. So let's just say the Lord healing those that he chooses at a time. Have you ever had difficult days? COVID was difficult for everyone, right? I remember when in Kenya they say that everything is shut down, I froze for a moment. I had 45 children at the moment, and they said no school, so all those that had gone to boarding schools, you know, the high schoolers had to come back home, and I had all the others in the house. So I had 45 children to feed in the morning, in the daytime, in the night. And, you know, with some growing, their appetite is very high, so they'll always go around the kitchen. And they can't go completely outside the center because we're supposed to be locked down. I froze. It was a difficult time. We've gone through some difficult moments. Have you ever had a difficult Sunday morning? I once had a difficult Sunday morning that changed my life and changed the trajectory of my life. I was preparing to go to college for my first degree, which I did in theology. My father lived in a different place, and I was working as a house help in Nairobi. So we were both in Nairobi, but different places. And my father had said that I could go and see him for him to give me some money to buy the NAV Bible that was required for, you know, theological schools. They will always ask for, we will ask for different things. So this one I was supposed to go with an NIV version of the Bible. And when I went to his house, he was not around that morning. And I thought I could wait because sometimes he would be away and he'd still come. It was raining. It was in one of the slums of Nairobi. And for some reason, there was no one in the neighborhood. So I waited. And as I was waiting, a friend of his came. He was like a family friend, someone I knew for quite some time. So when he came, I was like, where's your father? I said, I've been waiting for him, so maybe we could wait together. And then As the rain was increasing, he said, "Why should we be rained on? Why don't you come and shelter yourself in my house?" At first, I hesitated because I was preparing to go to church, the second service, like we have come for the second service now. But as the rain was increasing, it didn't make sense to just stand there and be rained on. And so I followed him. I didn't know his agenda. I thought he was just a family friend. I was very thin. I wasn't slender, I was thin. He took me up and threw me to his bed. He held a penknife to my neck. He tore my innerwears and he raped me. I was a young woman. But he changed the story of my life. I asked if you've ever had a dark morning, Sunday morning. And this was a dark Sunday morning. I got out of the bed, looked at the sheets. I made a note on my innerwear. I wore the outer clothes and I went to church. I stood at the back of the church, confused, shocked, lost. I had lost the one thing that I had held so dear to me, and I couldn't share with anyone. You know, in church, we don't talk about sex. Do you guys talk about sex in church? You're probably not going to heaven, so maybe I need to confess after this, right? I was one of the leaders of the youth ministry then. So my colleague told me, "Flora, you come and lead worship." And I told him, "Luke, I'm not leading worship." He asked me why. "Let's train another person." I've been doing it, but it was not about getting another person to do it. The inside of me was bleeding physically and bleeding emotionally, bleeding all around. And I kept that in my mind for the next 5 or 6 years, never shared with anyone. We live in a broken world. Brokenness sometimes characterizes our political structures. In Kenya right now, we are at that moment when we are preparing for elections. Pray for us that there shall be peace and that those that lose will accept and that there'll be no more war. I discovered that when they announced the date, again I froze because the past elections, we've had a lot of violence. And one of the forms of violence that is never talked about is gender-based violence. And sexual violence, rape, is used as a weapon of war. And Kenya, we have had an experience of that in the past. And so pray for us that this will not escalate into war when it happens again. So this happens, go to a theological school, nobody talks about it. I come to serve in a church that is well organized. Nobody talks about it. But I have young girls and ladies who come to my office and they're sharing with me how they are being sexually abused. Two stories keep coming up in my spirit. And one was of a girl who was an orphan in a family of 7. And she had left her siblings with her grandma in the village, which is something we do in Africa. Many times we go from the village to the town to look for opportunities. And she was being abused by the boyfriend to her boss. She was employed by a single mom who had a boyfriend. And so every morning when the lady went to work, the boyfriend would come, probably ask for a cup of tea or something, And when the girl is serving him tea or whatever it is, he would throw her on the couch and rape her. And one time she told me he spat on her and told her, nobody can ever help you. Nobody will listen to you. Nobody will trust you. And as these girls and ladies came to my office, I kept wondering, so who cares? Who cares that we have these girls sitting in the pews of the church as beautifully as we are this morning, but they are wounded inside? Nobody is talking about rape. Nobody is talking about defilement. Nobody is talking about gender-based violence, whether to men or to the women. Nobody is talking about it. Who cares? And my who was directed to the church because that's all I knew. I had gone through a theological training for 4 years and nobody had mentioned about it. I was there in church now, heading a Christian education department, and nobody was talking about it. So who cares? Who cares that this morning there could be someone seated here? And maybe my story has just revived your wounds of pain and a dark morning or evening or night that you never wanted to remember, maybe. And God started putting it in my heart that Christ is the healer. And I said, if Christ be the healer, he never healed the physical only. He healed as well, even emotions. Our emotional parts that are wounded and broken, he is able to heal them. The brokenness of the world has a healer. And sometimes he uses the wounded healers to bring wholeness to wounded and broken souls, individuals, families, and communities. Because he cares. He cares about you this morning, just like he cares about me this morning. And to him, there's nothing very difficult that he cannot heal. And so in the course of this, he called me to start this ministry that he called the New Scent. And he gave me the name. And he said, I want you to go and give my people a fresh breath of life. That's why the New Scent. And a lady trying to smell a rose. Abuse comes with bad smell. Sometimes it's the smell of the blood. Sometimes it's the smell of the perfume or the cologne that the abuser was wearing, if any. Sometimes it's the sweat. Sometimes I think bad words smell. You can, as they ring in your ears, you can almost choke at the evil that is said and spoken. And so he said, I want you to go and give my people a fresh breath of life. And he gave us Isaiah 61, verse 3. Still working? Thank you. He gave us Isaiah 61, verse 3 as our key verse. For purposes of context, I would love to read verse 1, 2, 3, but I'll concentrate on verse 3. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called ox of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. If I was to begin from the bottom and just give a summary of what I want to say, is that even in brokenness, the Lord is able to pick the pieces that have remained and mold them into something that he is proud of and he can use. And that's why that verse 3 ends by saying, for the display of his splendor. So whatever he does in making and molding, he's not just doing it for the sake of doing it. He's doing it for his own glory. That he can say, look, this that was rejected, this that was broken, this that was useless, this that nobody thought could ever be anywhere near good, I am not displaying it, for I have made it for my own glory. So sometimes, though we may go through situations and scenarios that make us feel like we are useless, you ain't useless. You ain't useless. You ain't a waste to resources. You're useful to the Father God. And God is interested in several things that I want to point out from this verse. Isn't it amazing that God cares about our lives when we are crying and mourning? We have some communities in Kenya who really mourn when someone has died, and they cry. They'll cry. They'll even employ people to weep, like, and shout and scream, so that the mourning can look like it's really mourning. So they will cry from when, if it's death, when the death is announced, and they will cry throughout until after the funeral. They will cry. They will mourn. But in some cases, they make it look like a joke, because after the crying, they'll go and look for food. So you know, celebrate and crying at the same time. But we mourn when we lose. We mourn when we lose loved ones. We mourn when we lose values and virtues. We mourn when we lose things that were attached to us. And sometimes if your life is characterized by dark mornings, like I had a dark morning, then your life is like a mourning circle. It's like a dark circle. Think of a child, a young child, who is defiled every night by not one, not two, not three men, but by many sometimes. Not by any man sometimes, but by the biological father or the stepfather who loves the mom. Think of that life when she has to wake up in the morning and go to the streets and try to fend for herself. That life is a dark life. Sometimes she comes home and there's no place to sleep, and she has to go and sleep in the trash bins or soil heaps and cover themselves up to the neck with soil to make it for the night. That's a dark life. That's a mourning life. One of the girls we rescued told us she kept on following women, hoping that one woman would ask her to come home with them. And so when she was asked to come to the news end, she took my name. Because she had no name in the streets, she had a nickname that was negative. So she took my name, Mwikali. She said, I tried to follow women to take me to their home, but this woman has taken me and given me a home, so I will take her name. And so she's Abigail Mwikali. Never gone to school, didn't even know how to hold a pencil. Raped by the men that the mom brought home. Turned into a witch doctor, involved in very deep satanic things. But today she has joined high school in Form 1. That was a mourning life for her. She desired for something different. At times when our bodies ache and we get sick, we live like we are mourning. And sometimes you don't want to say how you're feeling because you're thinking like, I can't keep saying I'm feeling bad. You're mourning. You're mourning health. But did you know that God is in the business of turning your mourning into dancing? God is not okay that you're in that mourning state. God is not okay that you're crying. God is not okay that you're broken and shattered and wounded. He's in the business of working it out that he would give you dancing. That instead of waking up to the same state, you will wake up and say, I have the joy of the Lord in my heart. Because he gives us joy when we give our lives to him. And so it says, he gives comfort to all those who mourn. He is with you right where you are. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 and 18. The author, some say it's Paul, some say it's not yet known, whoever the author is, talks about the high priest. And he says, so we do not have a high priest who does not understand, paraphrase, what we go through. Why? Because he lived and walked on the face of the earth. So he knows what pain is. He knows what crying is. He knows what rejection is. He knows what, brokenness is. And therefore, what should we do? We should draw in confidence to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to keep us in times of need. Does that comfort you? It comforts me. And the second thing he does is he bestows on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Ashes were worn when people were mourning in the historical times of the Bible. Remember the story of David, for example, when the baby he's sick that he got with Bathsheba, and he wears this sackcloth, and he uses ashes, a state of mourning, a state of dejection, a state of, what should I do, God? I need you. And so he's in that. In this case, we may never wear sackcloth. We may never use ashes. We still use powder. And when we cry and our tears remove it, we still rush to the bathroom and powder up, right? And we say, it's okay. Even when inside you feel like screaming, you say, it's okay. Even when inside you feel like saying, leave me alone, you still say, it's okay. And it looks like we're all okay. But the Lord wants to take away that sackcloth that is inside of you. Outside you have a very nice outfit, but inside we wear those clothes of mourning, and we got no sight of the beauty that God wants us to experience. And he's doing what? He's taking off those garments of mourning for whatever we've lost, whatever has broken us, and he crowns us with beauty. And not just that, he uses the oil of joy. The oil of joy instead of mourning. Oil was used in celebration moments or in appointment moments. Remember King Saul, when he was appointed king? Remember the prophet at that time, Samuel? When Saul is rejected and God says, I have chosen for myself a man after my own heart. Sometimes you look at David and you wonder, how could he be the man after God's own heart? It's because he was broken and he broke at his sin and confessed before God. He desired to do that. And so Samuel goes to pour the oil on David. That was a celebration. A king was being bestowed. Looking at some of the pictures here, I may come back. I'm not sure they're very clear. But look at one of the pictures. Why would you use oil on such dirty kids. That will be a waste, right? Where would you be wasting? But God says that in their mourning, thinking about their story, living with their 87-year-old grandma, having to hide above an avocado tree when the grandma is not there, because the uncle was abusing the two bigger ones, and the mom is mentally unstable and she's not home. She doesn't even know where the kids are, actually. And they never get to go to school because they help the grandma to fend for themselves. The Lord says, on such, I pour the oil of joy instead of their mourning. They don't need to climb an avocado tree again to hide from the perpetrator. The Lord can rescue them and put them in the right place. Whatever it is that you could be mourning this morning, the Lord doesn't look at you as one who would waste his oil of joy. He takes our pain. He takes our shame. And he glorifies us. And why is he doing all these things? So that he may create for himself trees. Strong trees, an illustration of a firmly planted person that only he can make and glorify himself. That's why he says he will do it for the display of his splendor. That we will all look and say, oh wow, the Lord can beautify. And this is what at the New Saint we are doing. We receive them from the streets, from vulnerable homes, from places and spaces that are difficult, and we embrace them. We embrace them and we give them food. We listen to their very difficult stories. The story here is of this girl who at the age of 3 was being abused by the boyfriend to the mother. And the boyfriend would then give her bleach to drink after abusing her. I still do not understand why. But she had to go through this every time her sisters and the mother was not around. But now she's safe at the center. The only thing I have is God. And therefore the only thing I manage to give is God. We introduce them to God. We take them through prayer, deliverance from involvement in satanic works. And now today, most of them are doing well, not only at the center, but those that are in boarding schools are leading in different sectors. One of our girls is a president in her school, and we're hoping she performs well by the end of this year. And 2 of them who learned to play the keyboard at the center are now playing keyboard in their schools, so they are doing well. This right here and another one are dorm captains and DH captains in their schools. So we're teaching them God, who is also popping out the leadership and abilities that he has put in them. We're reaching out to the community of children as well. Just before I traveled here, we had a VBS that was able to reach 184 children. Those at the center and those in the community. And we were able to reach also some people who are working at our site, building the foundation for the school that we want to do. And we had 84 lives given to Christ. And we praise God for that. Some of them, before I came, started already coming to church in our place. And we trust God will keep molding others. This is something we have seen. We started church because we were rejected in several churches. And I remember one morning, some of the girls just told me, Mom, you're a pastor. Why don't you begin church for us? And that's how we began services at the center. We had a tent before we moved to our new home. And then we met in school. But when COVID came, we had services in our home. And the DH became small. So we do church in the garage. at the center until that time when we'll be able to do a sanctuary where many people can come. But we have some space in the garage now. So we are grateful that they come not knowing God, and now they know God, and they are helping spread the word. Actually, when it was VBS time, I told them, you guys did not invite, so you're the ones who are going out and invite our friends in the neighborhood. So they did the reach out to the community. And this was also kind of a feeding program, because many kids would come for VBS because we would give them lunch. And so if you can have a plate of food and meet Jesus, why not? We take them to school. This is the primary school. We are in a rented premises. Some of you came when they came over a few years back, but the rent has kept on growing, so it's becoming difficult for us to be there because they are also not renovating and stuff related to that. Besides a change of education curriculum in Kenya that demands that we have extra space by beginning of January coming here. And so we are trusting God to have our own school. We have all the children from the 2-year-old to the 22-year-old in school. We have 18 in high school now. We just enrolled 6 more this ended week, and they've joined the others. The last time I was here, we were praying for 5 who are sitting for their primary school examination to join high school, and now we are praying for them to perform well by the end of this year from high school, which is really a praise to God. So we take them to school. We teach them basic skills of life. Some of them come from just collecting food from the trash bins, and they've never cooked, like Caro in the red wood, whose mom died when they were very young, and their auntie would ask them to go and ask the mother for school fees, and she was in the grave. But now she's doing well, and we teach them how to farm. I will look for the flour for them, but I'll not look for the vegetables, because we can cultivate the vegetables. So trying to see how much we can do for ourselves. Shared about these 3 little girls who are growing to be very beautiful. We're still struggling with a bigger girl, because I am struggling with having her do a corrective surgery because she cannot hold urine. And we have 3 of those. So pray that the Lord can heal them and we do not have to do the surgery unless it's a must. Just shared about Carol when they first came, and their sister, Carol and Monica, who are orphans. They've slept severally in prison floors because of stealing food. You know, food is a basic need, but they couldn't get it, and their auntie was not providing, and their big brother had run mad. And they had another brother who was trying to fend for himself and the family as he went to school. But last year, we were able to help him go through high school as we keep the 2 sisters. And the brother who had run mad, we were able to pray for him. But he's okay, but he's not gotten anything to do yet. But these girls, we still have them abused, involved in transactional sex to survive because they didn't have any other way, and they're orphaned. We have kids like this. She was this age when we rescued her. She's smaller than her age by the time of rescue, because we rescued her when she was 4 and a half. She's smaller, than that. And she's just one of the several that we have rescued who started being sexually abused at the age of 2 or 2 and a half. Carol was abused by the father when she was less than 2. The first time. And when we rescued the bigger sister, the mom started bringing men to her. And like almost all that we have at the center, even as she sat on that bench, she has no innerwear, because most of the girls we rescue come without an innerwear to the center. So we watch them grow in safety, we clothe them, and we do what we can. Church, we have stood on your shoulders. You have carried us the last 4 years. Sometimes Amy will send a message, and I'll be like, I wish you knew what you've just done. And we want to come to you again and ask that you'll continue accepting to be the feet and the hands of Jesus in this ministry of rescue. We have a capacity of 160 to 200 in our place, but we have only 70 because I do not want to get more that I cannot take care of. Like I said, we're in the midst of constructing a school. We are short 160,000 USD from 235 that we were looking for, and we are trusting God to do it. With 230 bucks, you can take care of a child for a month, and you can break it down in different ways. You can sponsor a teacher because they're going to school and the school belongs to us. You can sponsor someone who is serving them at the center as we continue working in partnership with God to replace the mourning to dancing, to replace the sackcloth and ashes to a crown of beauty, to replace, you know, the mourning again to have it being put, the oil of joy upon them, so that they will not continue having a spirit of despair, but that they can sing and praise. And this is what we are trying to do. You have helped us do that. We continue inviting you to do it with us. And this morning, at whatever state you are, the Lord is able to do it for you. He desires that we would be healed. He desires that we would be whole. He desires to make us. We just need to be fully given to Him and trust the process and trust the results. He never made you and I to walk on earth crying. He made you and I to walk on earth experiencing the joy that He gives. Father, thank you for your people this morning. Thank you for your love upon everybody here, even those that may be feeling like you don't love them. And thank you for who they have been to us. They have allowed us to stand on their shoulders and to walk around smiling and fed and clothed and safe. Will you bless them? Will you remember their sacrifices and their offerings? Your word says that whoever gives to the poor lends to you, God. And God, you never pretend that you don't remember what someone owes you. So you know every of their sacrifices. May you remember them as well and minister to them and guide them. We commit ourselves unto you for the rest of this day and ask that you would order our footsteps. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Jaden said I could put this in my bag.
Thank you, Flora, for sharing with us today. And ushers, if you'll come, we're going to take an offering right now. And this is our regular offering plus an offering for Flora's ministry, the New Sense Center. If you're writing a check, you can rake it out to Bethel and just in the memo line put New Scent. Anything that's not marked will go to the New Sense Center. So we're going to receive this offering. And we have also a special music presentation during the offering, too, we're looking forward to. So we'll let them get ready and share with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We praise you for all that you've done in Africa that we've heard about today to rescue these girls and point them to Jesus. And their lives have been changed. We just thank you, Lord. And we pray that you would continue to bless Flora and her ministry there in Africa, Lord. Provide all that she needs to continue to minister to these girls and to reach out to those that are hurting in that part of the world. So meet her needs and just bless this ministry and bless her, Lord, as she continues to minister in your name. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.